You always have to edit yourself, like no matter what you're editing, mm-hmm. but having to like edit only like for so long, like it drives me crazy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Children are screaming for me. I love it. Aww. I love children. Speaking of children, Cosmo is going to be the producer today.
Hello.
You are not a child. You are not a child, I swear.
I act like it sometimes.
You just have the energy of a youthful child, and I love that.
This is true. It's not a bad thing.
Oh, there
it's
you
good.
Go.
It's good.
And joining us today, we have our good friend, April.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Are not childlike, so.
Yes, well, no, not anymore. I was childish when I was a child. Anyway, I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat today.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If my voice is extra sultry. Sorry.
Yeah.
Slash, you're welcome.
Exactly. I was just saying, don't be sorry. I think it's great when you can like choke up on the mic and just be like, hello.
Yes.
I'm here right now. Everything's really great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, despite the frog being in your throat.
Yes.
I'm so happy that you were able to be here and like bring us a different kind of version of this show, because a lot of times we have people on that are constantly like on a ton of podcasts, or people that are like just a little bit more like social media all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
But you're a little bit more like behind the scenes with your writing.
Yes.
So this is a real treat for our audience.
Yeah. I'm a writer. I write novels. I got about 10 of them online. I run some writing panels at Comic-Con, WonderCon. I have a panel coming up on LA Comic-Con, but that's actually just talking about romance novels. So
okay, that's exciting though.
So, yeah, Spice Club. It's gonna be interesting. It's the first time I've done it. It was actually called Smut Club before, but just to make things a little bit more friendly, just mm-hmm. to switch to Spice.
A little bit more PC.
Yeah, you know.
I don't really like that. That kind of bums me out. We should embrace that, like, there are certain things for adults at conventions.
Right?
Yeah. It does say 18 plus on there.
Okay, then what? Come on, LACC. Get it together.
No, I changed it. It was my decision. They didn't make me change it. I just, you know, would like it to be a little more inviting for people. So
okay.
Smut's just such a harsh word. So
yeah. That's a good point. It is kind of like,
it's got a good ring to it, but it's still harsh.
Yeah.
So.
Like when you say smut, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know what you like to
do. But then again,
was the point, but.
Then again, you might attract all the creepy, weird people like on the cons.
Like us. Like you and me, the creepy, weird people.
No.
It's like, can I put a camera underneath the chair so I can get some of your feet? Kind of people.
Yeah, I've seen the creepy, weird ones. You're fine.
Oh, no.
This is not the creepy weird group.
I'm like, well, thanks for coming to my show with the creepy weird. I totally almost spaced out that I was actually at your last panel.
Oh.
Or no, maybe not the last one. It was the one that you had moderated, Cosmo, WonderCon last year.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there.
No, I was in Ohio.
Then I've seen you on a panel, though. Why am I where?
The second one.
Was it the same one?
The second one.
Did you and Chrissy and Adam came to that one, I think. That was this year.
Oh,
yeah.
Then I guess it was.
Yeah, this year.
But I usually moderate those. So.
Do you?
No, you went.
So the year that you were moderating.
Last year I was moderating. You came to that one. That's where you met David.
Yeah.
And then this year, I think you came up to that one because I was a guest and she was moderating.
Okay. Yep. It's all coming back. Sometimes the cons all seem the same. When you start looking back, you're like, they're all blending together.
Well, I remember it specifically because I was like, Cosmo, help me. I'm like, I need somebody to moderate my panel. Yeah. I can't go.
That was nerve wracking.
My family's freaking out. Like I can't go. It was like the first WonderCon I hadn't gone to.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like, so do you primarily like to be the moderator, or you usually like to talk about what you write?
I moderate. Yeah. Since I put the panel together, I moderate it. I don't know. I feel like it'd be a little strange if I put it together and just sat there. I'd be like, ask me questions.
I mean, that's what I did once.
I mean, yeah, it's, you can. A lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm capable of moderating, therefore I do. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's something, because I recently, like, I started doing like public speaking back in high school. Like, I was in speech classes and everything, and did it through college.
Nice.
And yeah, I really like it for some reason. But I started writing panels for conventions like literally this year. So this is my first year actually doing them. And I have learned so much by even just doing only two.
Oh yeah, timing is everything. Learning how to get people to, like, you know, talk more, talk less, making sure you get to everybody on the panel. It's like a whole process. I actually write down like a whole keynote like thing, and like I go through it. Like, I always have my computer. Like, my friend David, like, you know, he's like, you got this like set up, and I'm like, oh, I'll forget what I'm talking about. So trust me, I need this. Like,
We luckily had like four people on our panel with me, but like we all had like little cheat sheets, and I would just kind of keep my finger where we were at. So anytime I would be like up and talking, I wouldn't lose where I'm at in the script. So I didn't lose it. But I definitely feel the power of the moderator is needed.
Yeah. Oh, my friend Koi, Koi Jandu, he does just cue cards. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll literally just have like a pack of cards and just
Koi's a rock star.
He always forgets them afterwards, but I'm just like, did you want these? He's like, oh yeah. And I'm like, I bet he just throws them away.
Yeah.
He's probably like, oh well.
He's like, oh well, I guess I don't have to rewrite them for next time. So then where do you come up with, like, you're putting together a panel. Do you specifically write a panel topic with other writers in mind, or do you feel like it just kind of naturally comes to you what the topic would be and who you would have on?
I think it depends on the subject. Like, for the Spice Club, I'm actually doing more of like a topic. Like, okay, we're gonna have this topic, who wants to talk about it? Like, maybe like an audience, like, you know, hey, what do you guys want to hear about? And then like, oh, this one, okay, cool, let's talk about that. So it's gonna be more of like a kind of a jam session. And I like to run my panels like that. My writing panel is actually more of a like a forum kind of thing, like a workshop. So I basically introduce people, and then, you know, I get together like a screenwriter, a novel writer, comic book writer, everything that I can, so that the people in the audience, whatever question they may have about their own writing, you know, they can just ask, and somebody on this panel will have an answer. So
yeah, I love that you incorporate like so much versatility instead of just like,
I try, you know, I like to include everybody. Maybe I'm a little too much about that, but I like having everybody around.
We love inclusivity, you know. The more the merrier, kind of. That's like how we are. We just want everybody to be involved and everybody having fun. So
occasionally some random guy with white eyes that doesn't do anything about books, I was like, what are you want me, what, I don't know anything about this. That was crazy.
That's okay, you can do audio for mine, it's fine.
there you go.
I did audio for like my first book, and it's good, and I'm a freaking actor, like I'm a SAG actor. Just like like recording my own like books, everybody's like, oh, they love it, and I'm just like, I'd rather have somebody else record this. I'm like, I want to hear somebody else say it. Like, see, like hearing me say it, I'm just like, like, it's more fun for me to hear other people, I guess. I don't know, maybe it's hearing a different take, or just like hearing somebody that can embody the voice better than I can.
I feel like that's the thing with a lot of people, that we have like an aversion to our own voice, or like we despise the way we sound.
It is weird, isn't it?
Because we sound differently in our inner ear than our outer ear, if that makes sense. Like, we hear ourselves, and then when we listen to it, we're like, that's what people hear me sounding like. Oh no. Which is why I don't edit this show, because I would also hate the way I sound.
You'd like, so cut everything.
I'd be like, let's put a voice modulator on. But here on this show, we invite guests to talk about things that make them feel a little delulu, because a lot of times we don't get like a safe space to vent and like talk about what kind of runs free in our brain, what things sort of like take over our brain space from week to week. Mm-hmm. And so I'm dying to know, like, what is something that has like completely kiboshed your brain, or something that just makes you like giddy? What are you delulu about this week?
I mean, I do have a 5-year-old. But
oh yeah.
So I mean, that kind of encompasses all of that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. If we're gonna stick with the writing, I think so. I'm actually dyslexic.
Me too.
So with my writing and everything, it's like impossible for me to edit my own work. And so thank God for like robots these days, because like they have like spell check plus. I'm like, yes, thank you. Like, yes, that's what I meant to say. Yes, thank you for helping me. I'm like, somebody help me translate myself. But yeah, I think that's what makes me crazy, is like I'm trying to get out what I'm thinking, what I want, you know, to put out there, and it maybe not turning out the way that I want it to.
Yeah, I feel that.
So that makes me a little delulu.
So where in the process do you feel like, is it typically like the word choice that maybe you get hung up on? Or is it more of like, I'm trying to progress the story? Or is it like strictly vocabulary, punctuation?
Honestly, I care very little about punctuation and
my kind of gal.
And spelling, unless there's a bright red line underneath it, in which case that drives me crazy, and it must be destroyed, and I will find some way to do it, even if it's the wrong word, I think.
I feel like my biggest writing struggle is that like I write like I publicly speak.
Yes.
So, which is a great thing for when I'm giving a speech, but yeah. If I'm trying to write out a story or an email to somebody, they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I'm sorry.
My editor thinks that my use of commas is very interesting.
I mean,
like, commas is where you're supposed to pause in your speech, right? Right. Like, I would pause here. I guess normal people wouldn't. I don't know. But,
you know, it's tough. It's tough out here having dyslexia. It really is. Yeah. Like, it's such an interesting thing, because I feel like a lot of people that have dyslexia run away from writing and run away from like their creative side. When I feel like that's weirdly, we're great storytellers because we're terrible at spelling.
Mm. Well, I tried to run away from it forever, but I can't draw.
Oh, okay.
I can't draw. Putting together like a movie is just too many working parts. And so just really the only way that I could get like ideas and stuff out was writing, whether it, you know, anybody could tell what it was or not. So the only problem is that like when you're trying to pursue writing as a professional, people want you to be like an editor. Like they like the way into writing is being an editor first. And it's just it's so hard because you have to have that meticulous editing, like, you know, thing. And then you get to write. And I'm just like, can I skip that part? No, you cannot. Weird. But I mean, you always have to edit yourself, like no matter what you're editing. Mm-hmm. But having to like edit only like for so long, like it drives me crazy. Like that's why I put out all my novels on Amazon, was because they were just sitting on my computer. And I'm just like, I cannot write anything else. I have too much content, and I will freak out if I die before these are published. I will haunt somebody.
Do it.
I spend way too much time on these. So
who theoretically says that? Is that like, did you go to school and they said like you had to learn how to edit first? Or is that just kind of like the voice of?
Oh, everything. Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, trying to get a job. Ugh. Like the only thing that's really available ever is, you know, assistant editing or, you know, something along those lines. Because, you know, it's a privilege to be able to write and create. And so it's... I just decided to do it myself.
It feels a lot like the acting community, because like people always say you have to start by doing extra work and then you can like, you know, or be a PA first, see what it's like on set, and then
It helps, but auditioning. A lot of people get stuck in it.
Exactly.
I did, but I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Like I was standing for 20 years. I loved standing in. Yeah. I just liked being on set and seeing the cake get mixed. But
it is pretty cool. I personally am kind of like, not for that journey. Like I just went in like auditioning and like as soon as I got here. And I feel like that's the same thing with you and your writing, that like instead of doing all the editing first, you went for it, you published them, and you're already finding so much success.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Working on it. It is interesting though, because I did go through that acting journey, and it is funny to run into all those people on set that wanted to act. There's actually a lot of people, weirdly enough, they would tell you stories, like they would lie to you about stuff, and they're like, did you believe it? And it's just like, yeah, I don't know you.
Yeah, weird.
But it was convincing, right? And I'm like,
sure.
Like, I don't know who you are, bro. Like,
that's so weird.
You're meeting some very interesting people on set.
Like, oh man, I don't even know what I would say to that. I think I would just be like, okay.
Oh, I had a really fun one. There was, I think I tell this to everybody, but there was one guy, I guess I'd run into him on a couple of sets, and I'm a writer. So I was like on set writing because I like to make use of my time because they have that whole hurry up and wait, and the waiting part's a little difficult for me. So that's why I wrote novels. Anyway, I ran to this guy on another set, and I just happened to be in like a group with him, like chatting. He was just like staring at me, and I was just like, what's going on? And he's just like, no, I've never been so wrong about somebody before. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you know, you're always just kind of like sitting there, like kind of by yourself, like writing, like, and I'm just like, yeah, I do that. And he's just like, I just thought you were just such a, and I was just like, did I do something to you? Wow. Did I? And he's just like, no. I just like, so I guess I learned to, I guess I taught him that not to make preconceived notions off of just seeing somebody sit there, but.
Don't judge a cover by its book.
Yeah. It also. Certainly. It also made me realize that I probably have a pretty bad resting face. So.
Maybe.
I'm like, yeah. Sorry.
This is the weirdest thing, though. Like, I'm also in, like, a theater class right now, and I really expected, because there's that, like, theater kid, theater adult energy. And I, in my first class, I was kind of like, oh, geez, who's going to be the, like, pick-me theater person who's going to be out there? And luckily, everybody in that class was weirdly, like, in the same age bracket and having the same sort of, like, oh, like, I feel like I'm too young to play a mom, but it's like, no, that's not a thing anymore. And everybody in the class turned out to be great. Like, that's awesome. No one has been like, but I want to be the blah, blah, blah. Like, it's weird how there's this, like, preconceived notion of people that are, like, standoffish or, like, just busy doing something else. We all perceive them as being like snarky or thinking that they're better than everyone else when it's just them existing.
Yes.
Just existing.
Simple. I mean, I don't know. I guess at that point it's like, is that saying more about you or like, is that saying something about like how you're raised? I don't know. But yeah.
We're not therapists. We won't diagnose them.
But. I know, right?
I judge everybody. It's been a bartender for so long. I'm like, yeah, I know that type.
I mean, that is kind of your job. Like, you know, like you look like a mojito person.
Yeah. Look like you're having a bad day. Here's a shot.
Exactly. And they're just like, thank you.
Yeah.
And then they cry all of their woes from the world to you. And you're like, yep.
And then when they're intoxicated, the true them comes out.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Oh. I learn a lot about people when they're, God, especially at the bar.
Oh, man.
That's why I'm like, if I meet somebody that's like that and they're not even drunk, I'm like, well, that's who you are all the time. So I can imagine you might be the opposite if I got you drunk, or it could be worse.
You're like, let's just test this out here.
Yeah.
You're like, let's test this theory. Free shot on me.
I've done it.
Plot, just sit back plot in and the corner. Wait.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's funny.
Or when somebody walks into the bar I work now, I'm just a bar back now, but when somebody walks in, I'm like, I got this thing with the bartender. I'm like, this person's going to do this, or that person's going to be problematic. These couple are going to say something's cold. They're going to want a discount, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, all right, bet. And it's like a dollar, you know, if I'm wrong.
Harmless bet.
And usually I'm always on top.
Yep.
Yeah.
You need to increase those bets, bro.
Right? Put like $10 down, maybe 20.
It's fun. I don't like gambling, but.
Oh, me too. I hate it.
Same. I'm not a gambler.
No.
But when you write, this makes me wonder about like cosmos theory, about how people can sometimes be predictable. Do you write in public at all? Or do you like sit at home and you have like a desk?
That's always bothered me. People are just like, look at this person sitting at a coffee shop, like writing on their like thing. Like, I'm going to write my next master, like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I like sitting in a coffee shop and writing. First of all, I'm not at home where there's like 100 other things I have to take care of or think of or deal with. Also, I like to go write someplace that's kind of pretty because I kind of stare off into the void a lot while I'm thinking. And so I like to look at something pretty. Yeah. And I really like sitting next to a window, like just like having the world pass by me. And I'm not a people watcher. It's really weird. You would think that. As a writer, I'd be like, ooh, fascinating. What's that person's like journey like? And I'm like, nope, I'm just looking. Well, I just like the energy.
Just like the ambiance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're like my editor. I was like, I'm always in the house. He has a computer, like a big one, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm always here editing. I'm like, get a laptop so you can go out places like the bar, the coffee shop. Yeah. He has a laptop. He's on his laptop at home.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that do not like being interrupted.
Yeah.
Like their flow gets broken and it's just like, they're just like, ah, and I'm not that person. I get interrupted all the time. I'm ADD to the point where I've had people say like, wow, you're really good at multitasking. And I'm like, no, I'm really good at paying like attention to one thing at a time. So if I'm focusing on this, everything else is kind of like, yeah, that if I'm focusing on this, then, you know, I'm not really paying attention to that. So,
Yeah, I love the idea of going to a coffee shop and like working on some stuff because I'm writing a bunch of scripts right now and until I can get my journal published, which you'll help me out with later. But the hard part for me is that people always approach me when I go to coffee shops.
That's what a lot of people don't like.
And it's such a stupid thing for me to be like, oh my God, everybody talks to me. But like last time I went, this guy literally was like, I follow you on TikTok. Aww. You're so funny. And I was like, okay, this is like actually kind of nice. So like, it's not always bad, but also there's times where I'm just like, this is where I want to just be a nobody for a second and be able to like get some stuff done. Cause I love
just being a cute girl, like sitting out. Trust me. I used to try to go and sit and write at, when Borders, when that existed.
Oh my God.
And you know, in the little coffee shop area that they had. And so I would sit there and then like suddenly there would be somebody just like hovering in front of me and I would just be like, I would just look up at them and then they're just like, what you writing? And I'm like, just working on something.
Oh God.
I'd like to get back to it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so weird.
Not that I'm saying you shouldn't go up and like interrupt people or talk to them, but I mean like if you're just trying to make conversation, but it was clearly just kind of like they just wanted some attention.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, I don't like being mean to people like ever, like at all.
Same.
And if I ever am, I'm really mad at myself about it because I don't like it.
I don't mind.
I believe it.
I don't mind, but you have to. If I say I'm busy, that should be a sign. Or if I have headphones on,
but people take it.
Yeah,
like you're like a personal rebuff, and it's just like I'm like, sorry, I'm working on something. Like, please don't hate me, but
It's such a hard thing to like. Tell people like how do you like tell them like, oh, I'm it's like awkward. In the zone right now, I gotta keep working, because if you're too nice then they still camp out.
They continue to chat. That's another reason why I don't accept drinks from a lot of people. Like every time I've ever had a guy try to buy me a drink that I didn't know or wasn't even remotely interested in talking to, like I was like no, because I've too many times I've been like, okay, sure, and then you're like stuck. You're like, you have to almost kind of drink this drink with this person. Because if you just like, thanks, and then bye.
Runs away.
You're like, I mean, granted, that's the gamble that they take. However, I'm too nice of a person. So I will at least sit there and chat. And that's what they're banking on. So
they want you to sit there.
I mean, I love a free drink. Don't get me wrong. I just, I got it.
People have bought me shots before, like at cons. And I'm like, thanks. And I walk away.
Yeah. This is where me being a shot sipper is a bad thing. I can't shoot
Cosmo
anything.
Just beats it. He's like, nah, I got this.
Well, seriously, there's some conversations you just don't want to be in. So like when somebody asks me, hey, Cosmo, how you doing? I'm fine. And I walk away. I don't ask them how they're doing. Because I know exactly what they're going to be there yapping. And sometimes I sit there and I'll deal with it because I'm like, I haven't seen you in a long time. Nobody really talks to you. I want to give you that time of day. But there's sometimes I'm like, I don't have time for your life right now. So I'll be like, he's like, hey, Cosmo, how you been? I'm like, I've been great. Be right back.
Yeah. Or I'll catch up with you later.
Yeah. It's
a pat on the shoulder. Yeah. And,
but if I really care, I'll walk up to you and be like, hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah.
Doing all right? What's new? And I'm like, I got time to hear it. But, you know, it's iffy. It's a 50-50 when you're in public or then your mood and whatnot. So, you know.
Yeah, there's no way to predict, especially like if you are going somewhere in public. Like my biggest thing is like at conventions, like people that like try to, oh my gosh, like, can I stop you for a photo, when you're like on your way to the panel or on your way doing something. And you're just like, I really can't. I'm so sorry. I got to keep going. And then they like cuss and say that like, oh, that girl's such a bitch. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. Hang on.
No, that's terrible.
Like, it's so strange, the dichotomy of like the con goers. It's like sometimes they're the greatest people in the world, and sometimes they're just awful when you have somewhere to be.
I don't mind. I don't mind it at cons, but like public, like I said, you need a Clark Kent mode. You know?
Well, I mean, also, like, I don't do dress up anymore. Mm. I don't do cosplay or anything like I used to. Getting stopped every 5 seconds for a photo is, I mean, fun. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I honestly, like, I'm wearing sandals right now. Like, I can't do heels anymore. Like, I just don't have the fortitude to stop every 5 seconds. And also the, I mean, maybe it's gotten better this day and age, but taking pictures with people and their hand kind of gradually gravitates south. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you were, buddy. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know where to put my hand, so I'm just going to rest it right here. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've started doing the suggested pose move where when they go to do it, I'll be like, oh, actually, why don't we pose like this? Or like something that keeps their hands
like, up here.
Out of the way. Yeah. Or like before I touch them, because like sometimes I'll put my hand on their shoulder.
Yeah.
I'll like be very weirdly like, verbal. Like, do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? Thank you. You know, just like being a little
like, hey, I'm being about it. Conscious about this. You should maybe be conscious about it too.
Right? Yeah. I don't feel like it's as bad lately.
Yeah, not like it was in the 90s.
Like, it probably maybe in some veins is worse and maybe in some veins is better. But, like, I feel like it's, I don't know, like, maybe because I have an attendant, people just don't try as much stuff.
Oh, that's nice. I did a Harley Davidson gathering as Elvira.
Oh, no.
The butt grazes and the people looking down my shirt. I actually had one guy that yelled at me because I was just like, I was like, why is everybody doing this? He's like, hey, if you're going to dress like that, you should expect people to do that. I'm like, look, you are looking down my shirt. There is no shirt. There's no shirt. It's Elvira. It's all right there.
Yeah.
Like pretending to look down my shirt is just kind of, it just seemed stupid to me. Mm-hmm. But I was, so I asked him that and then he like went off on me and I was just like, I'm like, okay, looky here, you.
Speaking of which, didn't you win the competition for Elvira?
I did. Oh. Yeah. 07.
Yes.
2007.
Wait, like a lookalike contest?
She did a reality show called Search for the Next Elvira. And I won. And there hasn't been another one. So technically, I am still the next Elvira.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So, you have to send in photos if you have some.
Oh, yeah.
We'll put them up.
They're all over. Yeah. Honestly, if you just Google my name, that's usually the first thing that comes up.
Oh, let's go. Okay, celebrity.
Flexing. Okay.
Well, I did a photo shoot with her in her outfit and all that stuff. So, I mean, they really good. Really good, like, photos.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Ugh. So it was really fun. She's a really sweet lady. I like her.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That's so cool. What a fun experience.
Yeah, like, it was.
Yeah.
And I went in because I was an Elvira fan. So I was just like, well, I'm never going to get this. Like, and it was just me against, like, a bunch of models. And,
okay.
Actually, the people that ended up in the top with me, one of them was like kind of like a goth model that like cooked and she was in a band.
Nice.
And then the other one was actually like she worked in records, like music industry. Mm-hmm. So actually the people that were in it were, you know, just super into Elvira and, you know, had the attitude.
Yeah.
And like, so the models didn't quite get there, but they did like a lot of weird acting challenges and stuff. So you can find it on YouTube.
So you slayed since you're an actress. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, I did try to take it seriously. How do you take it seriously when you're like, do a monologue while you have like a snake around your shoulders, like pinioning your arm. And I'm just like, oh yeah. All right. This is a thing.
They're like, sure, I'll go with it.
Glad there's a teleprompter. Thank you.
God for teleprompters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still don't use teleprompters.
Oh, man.
Still not there yet. I don't know. I just like force myself to memorize. I'm like, burn this into your brain.
Do it while you can.
Yeah, right.
You know what? When I get back, I'll let you open or host a Cosmo Show episode.
Cool.
Do an intro, but it's all monologue. It's all what do you call it?
Teleprompter.
I just lost the name.
Teleprompted. I don't know.
Teleprompted. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my only thing about the teleprompter is that I do find myself staring at it because, like you were saying, with losing your point, in the thing that you're following, I do the same thing with teleprompters, even though they like kind of slow it down depending on who you're going.
I break it down. I mean, my editor hates this, but I break it down and it's like, this is one sentence.
Yeah.
And then here we go for the next one.
Yeah.
Because the camera's already looking at me and I'm like, I can read this and I give myself time to rant.
Yeah.
So the way I write it, it's almost
you give
like
yourself spaces.
Spaces, yeah. And it's almost like commas, you know? It's like,
it's put like
a comma
commas.
Here, comma here,
it's
comma
a hell of
here,
a comma.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, do we need them? Do we not?
And I try. I tried the speech. Sometimes I do this educational part that's really long, and I'm cutting pastes from like everything else, and I want to sound legit and let people know what the episode's about.
Knowledgeable,
and
where it came but not from. Boring.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, if I let it go and it's going up, I got to pick that right speed where it's going, and I got to remember to read fast because I can't mess this one up because this is actual facts that I'm like, I can't screw up. I can't do anything. I can't say the wrong thing. Can't pronounce it wrong. Even though when I do, my editor puts like a little thing. He's like, he actually meant.
Yeah, yeah. The joy of editors to save us when we mess up.
Yes. Thank God. Oh, yeah. Man.
Thanks, Chompy. We love you.
We love you, Chompy.
There's sometimes where I will definitely say the wrong thing and she'll be like, nope, that's not it. She meant this. But I see her brain. I see where she was going.
Re-record.
Yeah.
Voiceover.
That's why when people say like, oh, AI is like taking over and like it's going to take over the jobs of editors. I'm like, I mean, sure, maybe, but like,
I think it takes over the boring parts of editing. You know what I mean? Like the heavy work of, you know, it helps you research quicker. It helps you like do all stuff. I mean, I get it. People like everything throughout history, use it for ill. Mm-hmm. Like writing an entire book, not great. And it's going to sound like a computer wrote it because a computer wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you need people, and you need to have editors, people that like can tell where the inflections are, can tell, you know, what you meant and like all that stuff. The computers are just like, it's this. And it's like, no.
It's like a text message. That's not it. It's like a text message without emojis.
It's like autocorrect. No, that's not what I meant to say. I did not mean duck.
yeah. Have you seen the vertical shorts that are now like popping up everywhere?
Yes, my friend.
The soap operas?
My friend does some.
No way.
Horror, though. They do horror 1 minute episodes.
Can I like email you my resume and have you email that to your
absolutely,
friend?
Absolutely, yes.
Like, that would be fun.
It's the Box Lightner brothers. I can't remember if they're going by like a different name or something, but they do a lot of stuff at Screamfest. Like their shorts are always just covered in laurels from
so
winning
fun.
Everything. It's just like, good job, guys.
Oh, that's
but
so cool.
I've had Lee. You've met Lee, right?
Yeah.
He's been on the panel before.
Yeah.
So, it's him and Sam. So,
you know, if you have room for one more person on your smut club, you should get there.
Does it get what?
Get
me?
Dare on it. Yeah.
Well, you want to be on it?
I mean, I could. I haven't written any smut. So
have you read it?
No, I have not.
Oh, wait, Fourth
so
Wing.
Need to.
Fourth Wing.
Fourth Wing counts as smut. I haven't got to the
smutty
parts yet.
I don't understand fanfic. I never understood. I actually need a fanfic person because I do not understand.
Chrissy.
Okay.
Really?
Chrissy, but she will only be there for Saturday and Sunday.
I'm there Saturday, but it's like at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Oh. She has her costume or the contest on Saturday.
That makes sense.
I'm also I'm the halftime show, so I won't be able to.
That's okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure you'll find somebody. Like, you just need a last seat filled or something?
I'm just trying to get, like, a broad range, you know, like, of people. Like, I have mainly novelists, which is, you know, good because, I mean, that's kind of the whole thing is you're reading novels. But, you know, I'd like to get people that just really enjoy it. I was actually trying to get my friend who's a psychiatrist on there, but she has to do something that weekend, which is sad. But
darn it.
Yeah. So, but this is also like my first time doing this one. So like my writing panel, though, I'm like, you'd probably be great because you do a lot of writing and stuff. So.
Yeah. I mean, I would save me as like if somebody cancels because like I'm not as established as a writer, but I do have the experience of putting out stuff.
A lot of people have questions about the post-writing process, the marketing, the like, how do you get represented? How do you do it yourself? How do you, you know, do all these things? Which, you know, I mean, you might be in the like category of after you've written the thing. So
after your help, yeah.
I mean, I always do like, I say concept to creation because you got to, I mean, it's, you have an idea and then you have to publish it, market it. Like, you have to do all the thing. And honestly, like, agents and stuff these days, like, they want you to already have a following. They want you to have the marketing set up. Like,
wow.
I mean, basically, you're kind of doing their job for them. But they have the ins. They have the ins with everything. Please don't yell at me, anybody that's a that's an agent or something. I completely respect you. I just understand how it goes these days.
Yeah, they're kind of like agents essentially, like because they have the networking and the connections to like put you in the right place, but you have to have already like done the work of like, you can't just say I'm going to be a writer, you know, and like, oh well, I have a piece that I'm working on. Like, you kind of have to have it done right before you.
Yeah, they want to see your manuscript and everything. Absolutely. But I mean, there are also like, okay, marketability, like what is your following, you know, what is all this stuff
basically, like, they just want your, they have the invitation to the party, they just want you to be fully dressed and well-mannered.
But they also want to be able to like parade you on stage.
Oh yeah.
So
oh, I like that part. I'm good at that.
There you go.
We all have our strengths, you know, and some of our weaknesses, but yeah, I think like once I get this first one out and then I get like feedback, because like my goal with this book is it's like a self-help journal that people can do. Like, have you done The Artist's Way?
I think I have read that one. It was a while ago.
Or have started it. It's like kind of a workbook, essentially. Yeah. It like really inspires you to like take your writing or like your acting or whatever you're serious about and like implement into doing like daily pages.
Oh, yeah.
And like brain vomiting like some thoughts that are like tied up in your head. So that way you can completely give yourself over to the art that you're working on, despite what the medium is.
Yeah. And a lot of them are really good. On that note, sorry.
Yeah. No, go
like,
for it.
Stephen King has like a good one on that too.
Oh, really?
On writing, where he's just like 2 hours a day, sit down, like write something. Doesn't have to be good. Even if you just sit there and don't write anything, you did it. And so it's just, but that, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's great. That's why we have you on the show, you know? Yeah, I definitely should look into that because that would be good for me too. But I basically took the idea of The Artist's Way and I made it into like a more modern, shorter version for people that are trying to accomplish goals. Like maybe not as big as like, I want my music to be, like I want to make money for my music, you know? Yeah. Instead, my journal's about like, taking it day by day. Like, can I be working on my music for 2 hours a day? Yeah. Or like, how can I, you know, it's just a bit more abridged for today's modern brain space of like people wanting to get things quicker.
It's true.
So I feel like once I have that out and I'm getting a little bit more opinions and feedback on it, I've already hired an artist to do like an illustrated version.
I love
that. Which would be kind of cool. You know, so there'll be two different versions. But yeah, I feel a little like impostery to be like doing panels and stuff and speaking on it when I don't have that how do I explain
you
it?
You don't have it out there. You don't have the you don't have it in your hands.
I don't have the credibility quite yet. Yeah. Like I'm on the way, but you know, maybe in like a year or so we'll see where it goes.
You have it written down though.
Yeah, and like, I have like a short film, so like I guess I could talk and I wrote that, so I could talk a little bit about that. But you know, there's still room for me to grow, I'd say. Yeah. I still knew.
No, I mean everybody's gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
So you definitely don't know until you do it. That's another thing, like with writing. It's like, how do you write a novel? You don't know until you try. Mm-hmm. You just sit down and you do it. It's
speaking of novels, what are the names of some of your books?
Oh, yeah. I've got the Pandora Syndrome series. I have the Rain in the Black Wood series, which is a fairy tale retelling. Oh my God. I'm like junior high school. No. YA. There you go. And then, Pandora is horror. I have a standalone that is the Persephone, which is like kind of like a pirate romance kind of like
thing. Read that one.
It's not super romancy. Like it's not very spicy, but it's fun. I like it. I got my steampunk series, Steam Run, and The 13 Offerings, which is an anthology novel, which basically has all the characters from the other books. So it like links to, so each one of those characters links to a different book series.
Oh, that's cool.
So cool.
Yeah, that's why I came out with the anthology novel first. I'm just like, let's get the idea out there, kind of build the world. And then like, you know, it's kind of fun if you actually do read the book and then you go back and read that. You're like, oh, it's that character.
Yeah.
So I love stuff like that, though. So like people get annoyed with that now with like the Marvel universe, because it's always just like, who's this random character that just popped in? Like, well, if you read this or, you know, if you saw this one, then you'd know.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, I feel like everybody gets so caught up in the way that like we're not really, I hate to say the words, killing off characters. I think that's where people get like mad, is that we keep bringing them back because there are now alternate universes.
I refuse to go the alternate universe route. I'm like,
they may
come back at some point for some reason, or you may see them again in a dream or something, but I try to keep the characters dead. My brain constantly goes like, no, no, we can't let this one go. And I'm just like, ah, but you can't.
You're like, keep them dead. We got to keep them dead.
Yeah. There's got to be some stakes here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also not a big fan of like the alternate universe trope unless it like really makes sense.
I mean, they dug into it hard. So
yeah, not a fan of it with Marvel. It just, yeah, I don't know. It lost me. So I was like, well, it's not my thing.
Well, honestly, okay. with it being alternate, all that stuff now, you could kind of explore a lot of interesting what ifs. So they actually have a series called What If that's actually really cool. They had this character named Birdie that was voiced by Natasha Lyonne. And it was the offspring of Howard the Duck and Jane's assistant in Thor.
Thor, yeah.
So, oh, my gosh.
I, weirdly enough, loved that one. And it's so, like, off the wall that I was just kind of like, okay, that's kind of fun. Yeah. Like, but that
you're like, okay, I like this one.
Yeah, it gets a little crazy. I mean, honestly, like, it kind of started getting there with Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's be real, but I loved Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. So, and it just brought us into space, and then
yeah,
and we got all the time rips and everything. And it's just like, oh my god,
yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot happening. Yeah. But I imagine you're also a fan of Doctor Who, as you're sporting a Doctor Who dress.
I have. I'm kind of like an old school fan of like. Everything because I'm like an old school like nerd. I'm not necessarily up on everything. Don't kill me. I haven't watched the last several seasons of Doctor Who mainly because I can't find it. It's not on BritBox, but I think it's on something else. I mean, with all the streaming apps trying to find it, I'm just like, you know. Well,
since Disney bought it, they just have the last guy. They have the David Tennant thingamajigger where he comes back with Neil Patrick Harris, but then I can't remember Shuti. His name? He was the first Black African-American doctor.
I've seen him. Like, also the chick I'm not from, like somewhere before. Mid Peter Capaldi's, I think. Yeah. I kind of like.
So you can't. They used to be on HBO Max, and then, like, they took him off HBO, and then it was on Amazon, and they took it off Amazon. Now Disney owns the rights to it, and then, like, Disney doesn't have all of them on.
Yeah.
On the Disney app. So it's like, it's kind of sad.
And then you can go into like the old black and white ones or the 70s ones. And
that's a whole other thing.
Whole other can of beans. But yeah, also this one's fun because it's bigger on the inside. Oh, like cool. It's actually reversible. So
that's so fun.
I can wear it the other side and it's the inside of the TARDIS.
Nice.
I never do just because I like that joke, but.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, that's so cool.
And you just people's faces whenever I do that, they're just like, whoa. I'm like, I'm wearing leggings.
Scandal. We like a little scandalousness over here.
Yeah. It's my Elvira coming out.
There you go. Yeah. I hate to say it, but I've never seen Doctor Who. But I do agree that it's very frustrating when you find a TV series or a show that you're really into and then it jumps from platform to platform.
Yeah.
The hack that I have found is that you just Google it and ask, where can I see this episode of this show?
Yeah.
And the AI synopsis will tell you exactly where to find it.
That's great. I also actually IMDb's. Good for that too, because you're gonna be like, I find this actor. Okay, now they're in this thing. And then they have like the streaming apps that it's on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, yes, okay, I do have that one. Yes, let's go.
Yeah, IMDb for the win. Yes. Love it. Well, speaking of for the win, where can all of our fans find you on social media?
www.aprilwallene.com. Or April Walline at basically every platform, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn.
There you go.
LinkedIn. Wow.
So, yeah. What is that old? I'm old.
I
haven't updated your LinkedIn in a while.
I never had one.
I was gonna say, I think I have one. I don't know.
There's also like a Pinterest too. And I'm just like, is that still a thing? I'm
not Pinterest. Wow. I use Pinterest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. TikTok, I have a hard time with because I'm not great at videos, but.
Yeah, TikTok's a bit of a learning curve, but once you're in it, it's hard to get out of it. Like it's one of those addictive apps.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Just the content, like I have a hard time keeping up with. You just have to constantly, like I have to talk to this guy about like doing anything TikTok because like I cannot figure it out.
Yeah, talk to Cosmo. He's pretty good at it.
Because of TikTok, I love editing.
He's got a lot going on.
Dude, my last video I edited together for Fan Film Reaction it spiked.
Nice.
It's in the 2 point whatever.
I love that.
I'm like, what? Because I just went, I took my time and did all the bells and whistles. And then I'm like, yes, I want more.
Yes. We still got to talk about that channel.
Yes.
Ooh, yes. We should bring that over to Patreon.
Yes, let's bring that over.
Spill the tea over there on it.
I'll spill the tea over there.
Yeah, don't do it here. We want people to click over to Patreon.
Click over.
Consider joining us on Patreon. Cosmo, though, where can people find you?
The Cosmo Network on YouTube.
You're like, where can they?
Where can they find it? Cosmo Network on YouTube and The Cosmo Show on Instagram.
Yeah.
With the E at the end.
Yes.
Don't forget the E. I sometimes forget.
It's awful.
Oh my God, his first panel, like they forgot the E on there. And I was like, I'm embarrassed.
You're like, I'm sorry.
I took a Sharpie, put an E on it. I still have
he
that.
Did.
I still
did.
Have that one. I have all of my panel name tags.
The cards, the placards?
Yeah, it's just an honor. She gave me my first one.
Aww.
Like threw me on there. And then I hosted one. And then
I ran into him at the lobby, like on my way to my like panel or something, and I was just like, I need you, like come be on there, I need an extra person, come on, like
I thought
come
you meant
being... he's like I don't even know, he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about, and I'm just like, it's a writing panel, just come. And he's just like, I'm not a writer. I'm like, you're a content creator, just get over here,
like it's fine,
like just... you're fine, just. And it was totally fine.
It was totally fine.
And you prevailed.
I lived and prevailed. The second one, when I had to host it, I was off script because I really didn't know everybody's name.
I tried so hard to set him up for success, just me not being there or not being able to they put up the placards in the wrong order. Yeah, in the wrong order, which usually I volunteer for Comic-Con and WonderCon every year.
Oh.
And so not having it in the proper order, I'm just like,
yep.
Dang it. So they somehow got mixed up, and then that threw you off. I'm not sure.
It threw me off. And then the podium is so short, and I'm a tall guy. I had that same problem with Jason Reitman in the Ghostbuster one at WonderCon. I'm just like, I like to lean on things. And if it's my height, then it's fine. But if it's short, I'm like, oh, crap. And then
a lot of times you can just take a seat.
I know.
And then everybody will just kind of like, you know, move down. You don't have to use the podium.
It's hard for me to sit down.
Okay, well then.
Like this, I can sit down with this. But like literally, if I'm talking about something and I have to keep people entertained or something like that, I'm just
so
like,
energetic.
I got to walk around.
Yeah, it helps keep you like awake, energetic. And, yes. And it looks like you're a little bit more engaged when you're standing too.
Exactly. I will sit down any chance thing. I get.
I know. I'm the same too.
I'm the worst. I'm like, oh, is this like a ledge?
You're like, oh, look at this. A seat for me.
I'm just going to sit here.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us on this episode. You can find me, Dare Taylor Official, on Instagram. Please subscribe. We could use a couple more subscribers here. We are so close to hitting some of our goals. So please subscribe. It costs you no money. But if you'd like to spend some money on us, as we would love, you can join us on Patreon. We have our lowest tier starting at $5, top tier at $50. And you guys help keep the lights on in here. So thank you. Thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters. And we will see you over there, because you're gonna come join us, right? And yeah, stay Delulu, so then all your dreams will come true.
Yay.
Bye.